Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Hard to believe, but it has been nearly 10 years since LeBron went on national television to declare which team he would be signing with. The infamous decision received its share of criticism after LeBron announced he'd be taking his talents to South Beach to play for the Heat and would be leaving his hometown Cavs. So, Shannon, do you have a problem with the decision and how it all went down?
Nope. Do not have a decision with it, Skip Bayless. When I look at it, Skip, and I get some of the anger for the Cleveland fans, is because, Skip, our hometown guy is leaving us. Us. Left. Gone. We're not going to be the same because there's a reason why we're in position to get him, Skip. We weren't very good. Mm-hmm. So if he leaves, they weren't very good. What? They get two first number one overall picks after LeBron left, and they've been in position to get several more since he's been gone again. Mm-hmm. Skip, I think what happened is that when LeBron did what he did, LeBron's like, okay, the decision's going to happen. And what happened was, Skip, from the time LeBron lost to, I think, to Boston, until he made that decision, it was like almost two months. Skip, you're old enough to remember Jenny before Jenny don't remember this. Mm-hmm. But you remember Skip Dallas, who shot JR? Now, you remember back then, you had to wait all the way until the fall, and they build that thing up. Who they kept right of who shot JR? Was it Sue Ellen? Was it Bobby? Was it this one? They build that suspense. In television, we call that teasing. Mm-hmm. So LeBron was teasing. Well, who is it, Bron? He didn't do no talking during the season. He didn't let anybody know. Suitors, come see me. Miami, Brooklyn, Knicks, Chicago, and, of course, you know, Cleveland. Mm. And so everybody was on the edge of the seat. He's like, well, hold on. If ESPN's going to put this on their air and they're going to make some money, I should at least get something out of the deal. Maybe I'll raise some money for charity. People don't want to talk about that, but that's what he did. Raise money for a very worthy cause.
Boys and Girls Club.
Yes. Skip, for me, I don't have a problem. Skip, it wasn't like he didn't own a network now. It was like if he was Oprah and Oprah puts it on her own network, that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. But someone came to him and said, do you mind? And LeBron is 25 years of age, and I understand people that's grown. But LeBron had never been in this situation before because now he's got the everybody's watching. But from that moment on, LeBron realized, and it's the thing that we say about power, people don't realize how much power they have. LeBron said, whoa. Yo, y'all hanging on every word I say. 10 million live. Nobody can do that. Did you know The Last Dance on the average about 5.6?
10 million viewers.
Yeah. And when he made that decision, it peaked. Mm-hmm. Crescendoed, apex.
Still, by far, the most watched studio show in the history of ESPN. That means non-game. Still the highest.
13.1.
Yep.
That was the paradigm shift that gave the athletes the power that we see in the NBA today. And I think what hurt LeBron, look, he understands the fans being upset because he was leaving Cleveland. That hurt him, Skip, because you're burning his jersey and you're calling all out of his name. And then the owner, your value has doubled in your franchise. And this is what you think of me? Had a little racial undertone to it. Well, ain't no undertone. That was overtures. Mm-hmm. That wasn't no undertone. That was overtures. And so that was the moment that LeBron James realized, man, I got power. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that's the mistake that people make, Skip. They don't realize how much power they have. When they don't think they have any, that's when you give up your power. And LeBron didn't know he had this kind of power. And then once he saw that, it's over. That's why a lot of these execs and a lot of people, I think what hurt LeBron more than anything, it was the former guys that played that was so hard on him. Because we had never seen this before, Skip. Michael came back with the facts. I'm back. That's all he said. Bird, Magic, never had it. When they re-signed Skip, they never did anything like this. And so the old guard, Skip, they have a way of doing things, and they want you to toe that line. Mm-hmm. And LeBron says, nah, I'm stepping out of that line. And so for me, Skip, he didn't demand a trade. He played the contract out. He fulfilled his obligation in Cleveland, fulfilled it in Miami, went back to Cleveland, fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. Now, let the man live his life. Mm-hmm. People leave jobs all the time. Just imagine, Skip, you leave a job and your coworkers, people standing outside calling you all kind of names. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Goat James.
Hmm. Goat.
Don't Goat James.
Phony Goat.
Just stop saying that.
Okay. I have the same opinion of the decision now that I had the day after on ESPN on First Take on July, it would have been the 9th of 2010.
Right.
10 years ago, almost. I had the same opinion. I actually loved it. It was great theater. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it for my network giving up its airtime, giving a whole hour to LeBron James. He was that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because he was such a huge free agent acquisition. We had been going on for 2 months on ESPN. All we ever talked about was speculating. Is it Miami? Is it staying in Cleveland? Is it Chicago? Is it an X-Factor team that we're not seeing?
And he was the biggest free agent, what, since Shaq? We hadn't seen anything like that, Skip. Mm-mm.
And it had dragged on, to your point, for two long months. And I was ready for a big theatrical crescendo. So I had no problem with the choice to do the decision on live national TV. But I had a big problem with how LeBron executed it. And it was interesting. I watched the special last night on it on ESPN by Don Van Atta, who did a very good job on this. He pointed out that Commissioner Stern went to John Skipper, a friend of mine who was then running ESPN, and just campaigned, no. It's going to make LeBron look bad. Well, I couldn't figure out why it would make him look bad unless he made himself look bad on the special, or on the decision. But Don Van Atta reported that LeBron was urged before it to thank the fans of Cleveland, and that LeBron did not prepare for this. He did know. Usually LeBron is like a PR whiz. Mm-hmm. Like, he's all over it. He's thought of every nook and cranny of it. Could go here, so I got to go there. This, that. Be ready for it and have a speech ready.
Right.
That you can do off the cuff like he did on Kobe night that Friday night when we were at the Super Bowl.
Right.
He was brilliant. But he'd obviously thought it through. He had a plan in his head. And then he just let his heart take over.
Correct.
Could have done the same thing here. So did he thank the fans of Cleveland? He did not. So after 7 years, he owed them. And I'll just off the top of my head. I was blessed to be able to start my career and play 7 years in my home area in Akron/Cleveland. And I love the fans of Cleveland and that, whatever they call Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. I love them, and they will always hold a huge place in my heart.
Right.
But I now have an opportunity to play alongside one of my best friends in the world, if not my best friend, in Dwayne Wade.
Right.
And it's an opportunity I'm going to take because it's not going to come along again anytime soon. And obviously, he would know Dwayne was a little ahead of him in years. Mm-hmm. So I need to maximize my chances to play with Dwayne. If LeBron had sold it that way, which I think was from his heart, then I think it would have been so much more palatable for the fans in Cleveland. Instead, he showed no gratitude for them having his back all those years. Mm-hmm. They had not won a championship. He was regarded as the best player in basketball, but they got to one finals and they got swept by the Spurs.
Right.
So he needed to be much more gracious to the fans, just to Cleveland.
Right.
And make it hard. Make it, if you want to cry, you could cry. Like this has torn me apart.
Right.
But we got none of that. And I thought his rapport with Jim Gray was pathetic. It was like they didn't know each other, and LeBron was a little leery of Jim.
Well, Skip, they didn't know each other, Skip, but you got to understand.
But they chose him.
Yeah.
Maverick Carter and company, they all said, we want Jim Gray.
Skip, and I think
the thing. Remember, ESPN wanted Stu Scott or, there are other possibilities, but probably Stuart Scott.
Right. But Skip, I think LeBron is that knowing that he's going to make, because he said the night before he was, because they're leading up to that, Skip, he's like, this team, okay, that team, no, this team. And then he's like, it's going to be Miami. And then he's like, the night before, knowing, I don't think he thought he would get the vitriol and the blowback that he got from Cleveland. I don't think he thought that part through. Skip, so you leading up to it, you tease. And Skip, you forgot because you remember in 1963 on the March on Washington, it was Mahalia Jackson. Martin, tell him about the dream. He didn't have that written in his speech. He had forgotten about Martin, tell him about the dream.
That's true.
So,
okay. All right.
He, Skip, you up there, Skip, you forget.
Okay. So he forgot, but he was tense. And he's never tense.
No.
In any public setting, he's the opposite of tense.
Yes.
He is totally
he's
poised.
He's very relaxed
and in control.
In every situation. Right? Absolutely, yes.
Go look at the tape of it. His face is tight, and he's nervous, and he's not sure. And he'd obviously planned only one line, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
Right.
And Commissioner Stern just ripped it to shreds. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach? It sounded so arrogant that it wasn't what David Stern stood for.
Right.
It didn't. That's not the image he wanted his superstars to project.
Correct.
He wanted them to show a little bit more humility. Mm-hmm. But as the special last night on ESPN pointed out, it was Kobe Bryant who originally used that same line when he left Lower Merion High School and had to announce at a press conference, am I going to Duke or am I going? And he said, I'm going to take my talents to
the NBA.
Long pause. The NBA.
Yep.
Okay. So it wasn't even an original line.
Right.
And LeBron, being the student of history that he is, and Kobe was his, remember, that was in the days of, it's LeBron Kobe, Kobe LeBron, his arch rival, so to speak, was Kobe Bryant.
Right.
So he borrowed the phraseology Kobe had used coming out of high school and turned it into, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
Right.
And then the firestorm hit, and it showed all the negativity that made LeBron look bad. Well, it wouldn't have if he had handled it from the heart.
Right.
If he had made Cleveland fans feel a whole lot better about, I gave you 7 years and who knows, maybe one day we'll reunite again.
Right.
If he could have presented it that way, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He was cold-blooded.
Skip, this was the biggest decision LeBron has ever had to make, because all these other decisions, Skip, he got drafted to the Cavs. That wasn't a decision he had to make. You got to go. Okay, with Nike. Okay, you got Adidas and you got Nike, and that was off, you know, hey, you just make a decision. But Skip, this is live. You're doing this live. There are no redos. It's not no cut. Okay, we go back and do that over, or we edit. There's no CG in this one, Skip. Mm-hmm. This is live right now. And so you're talking about a 25-year-old man, and I get it, he's 25. But unless you do this, unless you've done this. And so what happened is LeBron is the trailblazer, because anytime LeBron does something and it goes bad, it says to everybody else, don't do that. Mm. When LeBron does something good, everybody says, let's do that. So now what do you see, Skip? Everybody else, what are they getting? Production companies. Mm. Look at Russ. Look at KD. Look at Dame. Look at Steph Curry. See, all the things, this is what happens. LeBron did that. They're like, oh, no, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm. Mm. KD ain't doing that. When he left OKC, Skip, he ain't do that, did he?
No. Okay. So, I'm assuming the blood had already gone real bad between LeBron and his owner, Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
And he rejoined him later, which was like a billion to one shot, which I still can't quite comprehend.
I still can't either.
After all that transpired. So Dan Gilbert was already angry because LeBron didn't pick up the phone, at least before the decision, maybe even moments
before. Rich Paul called. Yes, Rich Paul said I called. But I guess he wanted to hear from LeBron.
He wanted to hear it straight from LeBron. And he wanted some kind of thank you for all that you did for me, some kind of grace from him, like graciousness, where you say, gee, this was the toughest decision I ever made, and I thank you for all you've done, but I'm going to go play with Dwayne for a couple of years, 3-4 years here, and just see what happens.
Right.
And yet, Dan Gilbert was so irate that night he did two things. He posted a public, just sort of an open letter, but he also did, more to the point, an interview that night with the Associated Press in which he said he accused LeBron of quitting. He said he quit against Boston in that final series in Cleveland, first go around. Not just in game 5, said Dan Gilbert, but in games 2, 4, and 6, watch the tape. The Boston series was unlike anything in the history of sports for a superstar. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just a salvo. Now, if you want to do plantation mentality, you be my guest. I don't know. I think it's
just straight. How dare you leave me?
Okay, it's just straight bitterness. And then he even accused him of quitting the previous year in the Orlando series, in which they also lost games 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. After they were neck and neck with Orlando, obviously. And he said, go back and look at that tape. So he said, in the end, LeBron has gotten a free pass. People have covered up for him for too long. Tonight we saw who he really is. Okay? Well, LeBron invited that in a way because he didn't utter any thankfulness to Cleveland at all. He gave them not 1 ounce.
I think the thing is also you have to look at, Skip, like when you read something that's scripted, people don't think it's from the heart. Remember Mike Gundy? He reading off the prompter, and they said, Mike, you full of bullshit. Mm-hmm. LeBron spoke from the heart. They said, well, you didn't practice. You didn't rehearse. So you got LeBron at his most unprepared.
Yeah,
and when you do something like this, Skip, even though you don't have to read it scripted, you better be prepared. Okay, if he asked me this, where could it possibly go? You play all these scenarios. You get Rich. You get Mav. You get Randy in a room. Okay, guys, you're going to be different reporters. And you just, whatever you're thinking, just ask. To prepare yourself for this moment, Skip, but I don't think he went through that. I don't think he thought, he didn't think that, yeah, I'm going to make this decision on live television, and that will be the end of it. Okay. That was only the beginning.
And Jim Gray seemed to have no pre-plan with LeBron because he wanted to drag out the actual answer.
Right.
So we asked him about 5 questions that nobody cared about.
Right.
Like, what's it been like over the last couple of months? And LeBron was very awkward in his answers because he seemed surprised by
the
question.
Been like, it's tough. I mean, yeah. Skip, but I think one of the reasons why they went away from Stuart Scott, they knew the relationship that Stu Scott had with Jordan. Both
could be
Tar Heel,
Carolina.
Yeah. And Stu had been able to sit down and do interviews with Jordan, especially after those finals. And
Fair.
So they kind of wanted to stay away from
there,
that.
There was also Bob Lee, obviously, outside the lines.
Yeah.
And that was a possibility.
Yes.
It was one of those two. So
whichever. Bob Lee, Bob Costas, one of those guys. I mean, you can't go out. I don't know if they'd let Costas do it on their network, but I'm just saying they'd had to, you know, work that out with NBC. But I like Bob Lee. I think he'd have been great.
Tom Brady and Jim Gray have great
relationship.
And Brady just trusts him. Anything that he's going to ask, Brady rolls with it and laughs it off.
Well, he doesn't ask him. Hey, Brady, I'm going to ask you this. Okay, so go ahead and prepare. You know, he doesn't send him a list. Okay.
It's possible.
You know, kind of like they did on Hillary. You know, here's the question that we're going to ask for the debate.
Okay.
You know, you didn't get this from me.
Well, clearly Jim Gray and LeBron had no communication whatsoever.
The first time they might have saw each other at the interview.
Mm.
He's sitting across from
it
LeBron.
It felt like that.
It really did, Skip.
Right.
And I'm watching the last, like, I'm like, I don't even know LeBron. Because now when you see him do the interview, he's so relaxed. He's chill. Then he was sitting straight up.
Yeah. He's in control now. He wasn't in control of that one. And it turned him in. Then he decided, I have to be a villain now.
Be something
he's
not.
And so then in that first pep rally that the Heat threw, in their arena?
Yeah.
And it was not 2, not 3, not 4. He went all the way up to 7. We're going to win 7 championships. Not even so. We're going to go beyond 7 championships, which was uncharacteristic of LeBron. I think he regretted that. And so it just spun out of control for a year.
Well, you know what? If the only thing we're going to criticize him about is the decision, if that's the only thing that we can find fault with, LeBron, you been great. No mercy.
Former Patriots exec Mike Lombardi said that Cam Newton is what makes the Patriots good enough to dethrone Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Cam's ability to convert third downs as a playmaker is one reason. And another reason is that with the departure of Brady, the offense is no longer, quote, limited. Brady's lack of mobility and age, Shannon, with this analysis.
There's a reoccurring theme, Miss Skip Bayless. Mm. There's a reoccurring theme. It seems to me you're the only man on this island that Tom Brady is, he been doing it. Tom Brady can still do this, yada, yada, yada.
I think 2 other men are on my island, Bruce Arians and Jason Light.
No. Mm. I mean, they got no choice.
Mm.
I mean, they got to get A. Mm. The Glazer family say, y'all got to come on with it now.
Mm.
We paying y'all these big bucks and y'all giving us whammies.
Mm.
So either get good or get gone.
Mm-hmm.
Back to my original point, Skip Bayless. Look, he has some compelling points, but they couldn't now. But homeboy, after 3 years starting, that we saw what he did. His first year starting, 55,000, never been done before.
Mm.
Well, Peyton Manning did it.
Mm-hmm.
In his second year, and then he follows that up with a Super Bowl MVP. And Skip, he said, man, I just started learning how to read defenses about 8 games into my second year starting.
Mm.
Imagine when he gets a master's degree in understanding defenses, which he has now.
Mm.
It's over. Not beating him. And I get it. Now, Cam will be able to extend plays on third down. If it's 3rd and 8, there's a chance that even if the play is not there, he could get it with his legs. 3rd and 15, you know, Cam can scramble and make things happen. He can make plays with his legs Tom Brady can't even dream of making. Okay, we get that. But here's the problem, Skip. Because Cam's feet, accuracy is tied to feet. Cam doesn't have the best feet because a lot of times he throws off his back foot.
That's
true. The ball will sail. Sometimes it dips on him. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. With Tom, what Tom was, although Tom can get you first down with his feet, his receivers didn't create a whole lot of separation.
Yep.
But when they did, he would complete the pass. So let's just say all of a sudden, it's very few times they can create separation. It's on third down. The time that they do win, Cam overshoots him. You got to come out the field. You see, and so I think it's a plus and a minus. Now, if Cam had Brady's accuracy with his legs, now Skip, okay, I can ride with Lombardi on this. I can see where he's going. Mm-hmm. A guy that has this kind of feet, has these kind of feet, and has the ability to complete a high percentage on third down. Mm-hmm. But that's not happening. Now, back to your guy and the reason why he made this. Skip, I don't know if you noticed this. On third down over the last 2 years, there have been 45 qualifying quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady was 32nd on yards per attempt. Mm. Is that good? 32 out of 45. Don't answer that just yet. On completion percentage. Now, Tom Brady is accurate. I'm talking about he's pinpoint. He's Annie Oakley accurate. Jenny, that's what they tell me. Mm. 45 qualifying quarterbacks on completion percentage on third down over the last 2 years. Skip like to use the term sample size. 2 years is a large sample size, right, Skip? He was 35th out of 45 qualifying quarterbacks. So you could understand why Lombardi will say that, that Cam will bring something that Tom Brady wasn't. Mm. You understand that, right, Skip? 45
qualifying.
Is it my turn? I just want to reemphasize.
Yep.
Out of 45 qualifying quarterbacks, Tom Brady was 32nd in yards per attempt. And 35th in completion percentage. Mm. Is that good?
My turn?
Yeah, your turn.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. First, allow me to put Michael Lombardi in some perspective. Michael Lombardi knows football.
Yeah!
I will give you that. But Michael Lombardi spent 2014 to 2016 as Bill Belichick's right-hand man
right
in the front office of the New England Patriots.
Right.
Michael loves Bill Belichick. He's close with Bill Belichick. He's obviously rooting for Bill Belichick to show the world that he was the driving force of the Super Bowl teams and that he deserves the most credit for those six Super Bowl championships and nine appearances, right? So, obviously, Michael Lombardi believes that signing Cam Newton was a genius move by Bill Belichick to wait everybody out until you got him on the cheap. You got him for 1 year at, what is it, a max of $7.5 million.
Yeah.
And it may be a genius. It may turn out to be a genius move, but Michael is presupposing in everything that he wrote in The Athletic that Cam will flip that switch and immediately turn back into Superman Cam, 2015 MVP Cam. And if he does, Belichick will look like a genius once again.
Right.
It is possible that Cam will walk into Foxborough and say, I don't need a locker room. I just need a phone booth. Just show me a phone booth because that's where I'm going to get dressed for games because I'm going to be doing this
a lot. He'll do a lot of that.
He's going to be Clark Kenting the NFL.
Yeah.
Superman,
it
right?
He'll be cold up there, so he's going to be pulling that overcoat. That's an overcoat he's going to be opening
up. He may be. But here's my problem. Just for the record, I get all the, by the way, all the third down stats that Michael used, they're from Cam's 9 years in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Some of them are from the last four, but a bulk of those third down conversions came in the first 5 years in Carolina, including the MVP year in 2015.
Right.
But Cam has been extraordinary on third down. 61 of his 182 touchdown passes came on third down,
pretty
the
cool.
most in any down. That is all time. His rush yards, 1,696 of them came on third down. That's the most of any down for rushes for Cam, rushing yards
right.
for Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I give you that. But that's a 9-year sample size as opposed to the last four.
Right.
So you threw a stat at me about Brady. You threw several stats. How about this one? Over the last 4 years on third down, Cam completed 53% of his passes on third down. Over the last four injury-plagued, performance-plagued years in Carolina.
Correct.
53% was his completion rate on third down.
Okay.
That ranked 46th of qualified quarterbacks over that four-year period. That's not very good. Now he goes to New England. And again, limitations. Again, the point from Michael Lombardi, and trust me, you know where it came from.
Where it came
it
from.
It came straight from the horse's mouth.
No, it didn't.
Or the horse's something mouth. It came from Bill Belichick, who is telling Michael Lombardi, hey, if Tom was coming back, we were going to change a lot of things because of his limitations at age 43. Okay, the Buccaneers, according to Rick Stroud, who's covered the Buccaneers for years, he's an all-time great reporter in the Tampa Bay market. He reported that the inside, the deep going as deeply as he could into the internal sources that he has of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they saw no discernible drop-off last year in Tom Brady. And I've told you from the start, he actually did the most last year with the least he's ever had to work with. He got them in position to be the two seed and have a week off to start the playoffs. And Belichick's defense spit the bit.
But Skip, it happens.
Okay, it happens, but I can't give you any more than he got them to that point. He was that good. He was good enough last year in which, by the way, he was number one in the National Football League in percentage of completions on deep passes into tight windows because he had nothing but tight windows to throw into. So on 20-plus yard completions, nobody completed more tight window, deeper throws, 20-plus yards, than Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Nobody did in the whole league. And the Bucs are watching the tape saying, what's not to like about that? Because his receiving core, again, ranked 22nd last year. His tight end unit as a group was the least productive tight end unit in all of football. His offensive line pass blocking by Pro Football Focus ranked 14th, which is not terrible, but it's middle of the pack.
Right.
So don't tell me that's going to be great for Cam, as Michael Lombardi suggested it would be. He's going to have solid protection. Dante Scarnecchia is the greatest offensive line coach ever. He just retired. It's for a second time, but I think this time is permanently retired.
Right.
Is Cam going to love that? Are they going to be all-time great? Or are they going to just throw a bunch of sort of mismatched cogs out there and suddenly come into this adhesive, unified whole and protect Cam Newton like crazy, the best he's ever had in his career? I think not.
Nope, probably
okay?
not.
So the point is, in Tampa over the last 4 years, he went 23-23 as a starter with a QBR on a scale 0 to 100
Carolina.
In Carolina. At 44 was his QBR over the last 4 years. QBR never loved Cam to start with because he's not that accurate.
Right.
But he does do a lot of good things that get included in QBR with his legs.
Right.
Or his big plays on third down. That ups your status in QBR.
And plus the thing was, Skip, it would help. I mean, a lot of times his QBR was so low and it gets brought up because of his plays on third down. But his interception, he turned the ball over too. Mm-hmm. QBR does not like turnovers. And Cam had a bunch of those.
So all of a sudden, he's now strapped with the receiving core that was, according to Pro Football Focus, dead last.
Watch how he made it look.
Separation. Dead last in the league in getting open. Nobody got open less than the Patriots got open last year. And Brady had him in position to be the two seed.
Cam,
that is all-time great.
Cam, so everything I need to make the dish that you're talking about is in the kitchen.
So Michael Lombardi went so far that after he wrote this piece, he did a radio interview, I believe it was in Boston, in which he suggested, yeah, they're now good enough with Cam Newton to beat Kansas City for the AFC Championship and get to another Super Bowl. Well, I don't even think Shannon Sharpe's buying into that. Right?
Mike, he must have been in that room with Zeke. He might have been low-key 82 if he talked about it. So first of all, Skip, so now you're going to jump over. You're going to jump. They can beat Kansas City. They can beat Baltimore. Hell, they couldn't beat Baltimore with Tom. So I guess they do they expect like Lamar to take a step back? Do they step Mahomes to come back to the field? Because if these guys keep getting better, their offenses are only going to get better. Hold on. I believe if Cam is Cam, New England will be in the pack. Tennessee's going to be there. We don't know what Pittsburgh is going to be like. Pittsburgh has an outstanding defense. We haven't seen Ben Roethlisberger in over a year. So we're going to see what he's like.
I
think they're going to be a bunch of the Texans. I think the Patriots might be in that group, but Baltimore and Kansas City, they're by themselves in the AFC. They're by themselves. So leave that alone. So right now, what they should be trying to fight, we got to worry about the Texans, we got to worry about the Titans, we got to worry about Pittsburgh, things of that nature. Kansas City and Baltimore, they're by themselves.
Well, I guess no matter what happens, New England's going to at least be more fun to watch.
There you go. You know what, Skip? You always try to undermine, he right-handed, he right at a Coach Belichick.
Am I right about that?
Yeah. But hold on. So anybody that offers a critique that's not favorable to Tom Brady has an agenda. That's what I'm starting to hear from you, Skip.
Is it the truth?
No.
This is called truth telling.
No, it's not the truth telling. Randy Moss offered critique. Randy, how you going to do that? He threw you 23 touchdowns. Mike Lombardi. Oh, you know Mike Lombardi. He loves.
Yeah, but wait. In the case of Randy Moss, he can have no agenda. I thought he loved Tom Brady. That's why that one shocked me.
That's the one that got me.
That hurt me. That's like a below the belt blow. What are you doing?
If you don't mind me asking, when I offer a critique, an honest assessment of Tom Brady's play, what am I doing?
Well, let's change the name to LeBron James. What are you doing? You're one of the four horsemen, right? You're in the inner circle. Five horsemen? Okay. No
mercy. The Cowboys officially have 2 weeks left on the clock to finalize a long-term contract extension with Dak Prescott. But according to Ryan Clark, the situation is already very telling. He said, quote, when you have a franchise guy, you don't get to this point. When you have a franchise guy, you don't risk this. So, Shannon, is this the beginning of the end for Dak in Dallas?
I definitely think it's created bad blood, Skip. And I agree with Ryan is that, Skip, normally we don't see quarterbacks get to this level, especially if you believe in them. Now, we saw a situation in Washington with Kirk Cousins. They didn't believe in him. And that's why they keep doing it, Skip. And I don't care what anybody tells you. When they put the tag on you, they're betting against you. They're betting that you can't do what you did the previous season. Mm-hmm. They're betting you can't do it again. They were so convinced that Kirk Cousins' season was a fluke. Guess what, Skip? They put the tag on him. And then when he played well, they say, you can't do that again. He did it again. Mm-hmm. And so they say, you know what? It's just cost prohibitive for us. We got to let you walk. And that's why I'm afraid, because it's like the Cowboys look at it like, yeah, he's good, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. Well, damn, nobody's Patrick Mahomes. You're talking about something we had probably never seen before, Skip Bayless, and a guy that had this level of success this early in the season as a true young player. Now, Kurt Warner had success like this, Skip, but Kurt Warner was like 28, 29 years of age. This kid's like 22. So I agree. And look, he's won two division titles, Skip. He's won Rookie of the Year. I don't really know what you're going to really ask more of him. Yeah, sure, you'd love to see a situation where he gets to, like Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl. But, Skip, you look at what Russell had around him from a defensive perspective, and they were a running team with beast mode. It's different than what Dallas, because Dallas last year morphed into a team that they really put the ball in Dak's hand, considering that they fell behind in so many games trying to establish the run. Skip, I'm a firm believer in this. If you don't know what you have after 4 years, you're never going to know what you have. Skip, it's almost like a relationship, you know, the girl say, well, you know what, if you meet my family, we can get serious. Okay, I go meet a family. Well, if you get a haircut, Skip, I cut my hair. If you go to church with me, I go to church with her. And she keep giving me all these things I need to do, and she ain't ready to commit. At some point in time, Skip, I got to wise up. So you know what? I'm going to start going back to the club. I'm going to start hanging out with my homeboy, and I'm going to let my hair grow out again, and I ain't going back to church with you. That's it. So Dak, at some point in time, Dak going to say, you know what, cowboy? Later for y'all. Jenny, stop laughing. I know you over there laughing, Jenny.
I'm going to leave all the Dr. Love stuff alone for now. I want to make this statement up front. Trust me on this. Jerry Jones believes far more in Dak Prescott than Dan Snyder ever believed in Kirk Cousins. Trust me on that. That is a truth, truism. My friend Ryan Clark at ESPN says, when you have a franchise guy, you don't let it get to this point. Well, the Hall of Famer across from me has taught me two things can be true. You do have a franchise guy.
Yeah.
But it got to this point because you do believe in him and you do want to make him right here, right now, the highest paid player in all of pro football. But the problem is he thinks he's Patrick Mahomes and his agent also believes he's Patrick Mahomes. So they want so much money that when Patrick Mahomes does get paid, which could be sooner than later, they don't want their deal to get rendered obsolete as in, wait a second, Patrick got that much more? They want so much right here, right now from Jerry Jones that it will remain competitive with Mahomes' money when he gets his money. That's hard to do because...
And Deshaun.
Okay, and Deshaun, which isn't quite going to be Mahomes' right. money, but again, Patrick Mahomes was just the MVP of the Super Bowl. He won an MVP, period, end of story. He's already done that at whatever age he is. I don't even know what he is, 23 or 22, yeah. whatever he is. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. You got me on that yeah. one. But Jerry's saying, Dak, I can't give you $40-plus million because I'm betting too much money on what you're going to be. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be good, but you're right now 1-2 in the postseason. Right now, all I know about what you did for me last year was we went 8-8 and you missed the Pro Bowl. You didn't make it for you. You made two of them, but you didn't make it last year. And going into last year, all the NFL players voted on the top 100. These are all player votes. And Dak, you didn't even make the top 100 going into last season. And that was coming off a Pro Bowl year and a year in which we actually won one playoff game and came close to winning a second one out here in L.A. against the Rams. But last year, you didn't validate it with another great year. It was a very good year. It was a big statistical year. But to the Hall of Famer's point, they kept falling behind. And there were a lot of empty calorie garbage yards thrown for in fourth quarters against Green Bay and at Chicago that probably shouldn't count in the biggest picture of how you're evaluating how you're going to pay that man number four. I remain a huge fan of him on and off the field. But again, when it's $40 million, two things can be true. He's your franchise guy, but you can't completely overpay him because is he that guy? Is he Patrick Mahomes? So here's what I think Jerry decided. Okay, young man, I have the ability, thanks to the collective bargaining agreement that you signed off on, I have the power to say, I tag you, you're it. But you get tagged at a high rate. You get $31.4 million. Mm-hmm. And if I turn around and tag you again next year, you get $37 million. That's pretty good mm-hmm. money, right?
Yep.
You're very well paid. Jerry's saying, I'm going to pay you very well to show me in either this coming year or the second year that you're tagged mm-hmm. that you can take us on a deep playoff run, right. maybe a Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, oh, all bets are off. I'll give you Mahomes money.
Right.
That's what Jerry's saying to a guy that I believe he does love to a point. He is a franchise quarterback. You do want to build. I always tell you, he's my 10th ranked quarterback. He's just barely in the top 10. Well, that's pretty good. Out of 32 teams, he's the 10th best quarterback. I want to keep him. I don't want to see him walk. But by the same token, what have I always told you from the start about my history watching tagged players? Never seems to work out. It's bad blood on both sides.
Yep.
You don't trust me. I don't trust you.
Right.
You know, I'm suspicious. You're suspicious. I'm wary. You're wary. It doesn't feel right.
Yep.
And you're kind of playing in spite of each other. You're looking side-eyed at each other, right?
Yep.
So it's the beginning of the end usually when you tag somebody. It means that at some point they're probably going to hit the market.
Yep.
And maybe in 2 years he hits the market. But if he hits the lottery, as in gets to or wins the Super Bowl, I think Jerry then says, okay, break the bank for this young man. It's time to pay him.
Whatever will happen, because he's going to break the bank. Because, Skip, the thing is that Dak's looking at, Dak says, you know what? You never gave Tony Romo this kind of hassle by getting his money. You made him the highest paid, and nobody thought Tony Romo. And look what I've done. I was rookie of the year, won you two divisions right out the box.
Okay. I don't think Tony Romo was asking for the kind of money that Dak is asking for now.
He didn't have anything. They redid his contract. He didn't even ask for his contract, wasn't him up. At least Dak says, you know what? I done got all the way in the house. I done sat down. I done did everything you've asked me to do, Jay. I done cut the grass. I've done everything. I washed the car. I've done everything.
Well, and has he done it? He hasn't done
everything.
Everything. He's won one playoff game in 4 years.
If somebody would have told you a fourth-round draft pick that was going to come in and he was going to have the success, what fourth rounder you know that done that?
All I know is the Hall of Famer across from me, nearly every game last year, he gave Dak Prescott an F, as in failed. And that's what Jerry's saying. Well, Shannon Sharp
Let me ask you a question. Bust. Who's the better quarterback, Andrew Luck or Dak Prescott? Because Andrew Luck don't have that on his resume. Andrew Luck ain't got that, what he got. This dude, rookie of the year, won in two divisions.
Andrew Luck said no mas. He just said, I quit. I can't do it anymore.
They beat him down.
Okay. Well, I think I'm sticking with number four.
And that's what I'm saying, Skip.
Yeah.
Go on and get that man. Jared.
Okay, give him what? Remember, on the table, reportedly right now, is enough that would make him the highest paid quarterback or player in all of pro football.
I do not want to be in Jared Goff's bracket when it comes to guaranteed money.
Mm.
I need to be higher. And you know what, Skip? You see that big old board they got?
Mm.
And SoFi? They got a board, a video board that's the whole length of the football field.
Mm-hmm.
2.2 million pounds.
Okay. So?
Y'all got one of them boards, too. Jared should open it up during playoff season so y'all can watch other teams play in the playoff because y'all won't be there.
Mm. Okay, well, so if we're not going to be there, then Dak doesn't deserve
money. Whoa. What they got to do?
That's what you just said.
Game over. Your defense.
You got,
look at all the high-dollar defense you got. You got Gerald McCoy now, and you got D-Law. You got Jalen.
Yeah.
What? Hold on.
It's going to be much better.
Oh, I forgot. Hey, you got CD.
Mm-hmm.
CD Law, CD. We got CD. Come this season, you know what I'm going to see?
Mm.
I'm going to see the L's pile up.
Really?
That's the CD I'm going to see. CD L's pile up. L, CD, CD, L.
Really? I'll take CD over AD any day.
AD,
as in Laker AD. I'll take it.
I will. Yeah, you better stop it. You ought to stop.
What do you even get CD Lamb, Shannon? Like, where did that come from? Come on.
CDL.
You don't even know what you're missing right now. And we will, Skip and I, remind you of that this season.
No mercy.